Go to Romans chapter 12 and look at the read the first 8 verses. Romans 12 verses 1 through 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body and with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And we're looking at the Heidelberg, working our way through. Oh, should get the right sermon. We're working our way through the Heidelberg. And we've come to a question and answer number 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? And the answer is, first, that believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. And so we're simply going to work our way through these two halves of this definition and see how it applies to us as individuals and as God's people. First, we have Christ in common. Now, the first point that the Catechism makes in explaining what the communion of saints means is that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. And notice right away that the communion of Christ's people begins with them being believers. That is, we share a common trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. The Scriptures tell us that reconciliation with God comes only on the basis of the perfect life and atoning death of Christ, which we take hold of by trusting faith. Romans 4 tells us God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. Also notice that all believers are saved in the same way, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so we are believers one and all, the Catechism says. There is a very basic fundamental unity in the fact that no matter our outward differences, we all come to Christ and are saved equally by his grace and by his work. Galatians 3 and 28 reminds us, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The Catechism also describes us as members of this community. That is, we are not a loose collection of souls with no fellowship or no strong bond. Rather, Scripture describes our relationship in terms of God saving us as a people, as a family, and uses those kinds of images all the way through Scripture, describing adoption into his family, or being one people, or being of the same body, and so on. For example, Ephesians 2. Paul speaks of the unity of believers, as he's writing to Gentiles, to ethnic Gentiles, and says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups into one. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. And so Christ is our peace, and it's not only that he is our peace with God, he is our peace with one another. And so he brings together people of diverse backgrounds and calls us a family. And so we are to live together in that light, in fellowship and in love. Romans 12 and 5 told us, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. 1 Peter 1 and 22 says, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. As God's people, we also share in Christ. We have him in common. And certainly, the scripture reminds us that all other differences pale in comparison to having Christ in common as our Savior and as our Lord. Ephesians 4 reminds us that Christ is our head and we are the body, and that we are called to work together to grow and glorify Christ. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. And we've seen that as we've worked our way through Ephesians, how Paul over and over is emphasizing the unity of the body of Christ, and how individually we are to think of ourselves, not just as individual believers, but as part of the whole. The Catechism also notes that we share in Christ's treasures and gifts. Christ has given gifts to us, and those are given so that we will bless and live together in ways that are blessings, not just to the believers, but certainly beyond that, as we are salt and light to the world. And so we are given gifts and equipped to live together, and so we are to be about the business of doing that, of thinking of ourselves not just as believers individually, but believers together with the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Peter 4 and 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Well, second, we serve one another. Now, the confession's second part is that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. Now, here is pointed out our obligation and our attitude in carrying out that obligation. It is your duty before Christ to use your gifts, whatever God has given you, to serve other believers, other members of your family in Christ. The gifts God gives us are quite varied, but we're to use the qualities and the strengths Christ gives us to be a blessing to others. Again, from Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage, and so on. We're told this, obviously, because it's easy for us to think of ourselves as just surviving in the Lord individually, or maybe in families. But he calls on us to think of ourselves as part of a whole. We can also be lazy and not interact as we should. We can withdraw from fellowship. And certainly that's not uncommon in the church either. We can be proud and think that whatever gifts we have are ours, not Christ. And we can get full of ourselves, even when we do remember to serve others. And we can lack compassion and think just of ourselves. So the scripture reminds us of our tendencies to sin so that we will not do it, and rather we will serve one another faithfully. Colossians 3 says, "So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." And so our attitude should be that we will not keep our gifts to ourselves, nor in our service think highly of ourselves, because we have nothing that we were not given. Christ equips us so that we can be helpful and useful. It is about Him, not about you. Philippians 2 reminds us, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." There's also encouragement there to those who struggle to see how they fit in or how they're useful, that this ought to be encouraging, that He has made us all useful to one another. He has given us gifts. He has given us qualities to be blessings. And Paul pointed that out in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, that there are many members but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," or again, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." And so there are often people that are marginalized in churches, but Christ tells us that must not be part of our thinking about others or about ourselves. We are all useful in Christ's kingdom. Finally, the confession addresses our attitudes, that we do all of this readily and cheerfully. It's like this morning, it's not just doing it out of obedience, it speaks to the attitude. This comes back really to love. If you are in Christ, God has given you not only a calling to be active in the body of Christ, and not only the gifts to be a blessing as you're active, but also the ability to do all of that in love for Christ and in love for one another. Romans 5 and 5 says, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Galatians 5 describes the fruit of the Spirit and starts with love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. So we have this love for Christ and for one another, and we are to find it. Sometimes we lose it. Sometimes we bury it in our own sinful attitude. But it is there as we are in Christ, and we are to exercise that love. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we are called upon to be active toward one another in love and in exercise of the gifts that Christ has given to us. 1 John 3 says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with speech, but in deed and in truth." Romans 12 and 10. "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." And finally, Galatians 6 and 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Let's pray together. Lord God, we do praise you and thank you for this theme from your word. And we do thank you that you have called us out of the world to belong to you because of Christ. We thank you that we do not live this life alone, but we live it with brothers and sisters in Christ. You've called us to be together, to get help and encouragement from one another. And so we ask that we would be active in doing that, that each one would see our place and humbly serve, and that we would see the usefulness in Christ that we serve in the body. We also pray that none would slip through the cracks and be thought to by the attitudes of others that they serve no good purpose in the body. And we pray that we might be about the work of including all of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the life of the body. We thank you and praise you for your grace to us in Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.